Hey guys, welcome back to the Nerdament podcast. It's me, Victoria. I just thought I would clarify because you guys barely hear my voice. So I just wanted to just jump on here and just kind of, you know, give you guys a little preview, just tell you guys what's going to be going down in this episode. So today, Hayden and I got the privilege to interview via Zoom call Mr. Ruben Nahara. It was honestly a privilege. We really just got to talk to him about his upcoming comic, which is the Archie Best Comic Ever. We got to talk to him about his new comic. We got to learn a little bit about the process of the comic, and also just kind of like pick his brain a little bit, learn about his life. He gave us so much inspiration in this video. We thank him so much for coming on. You guys are gonna love this episode, so stay tuned. And of course, always, you know, definitely check him out, like, comment, and subscribe, and we'll see you guys in the next one.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Nerdament podcast. My name is Hayden. I'm here as per usual with
Victoria,
and unfortunately Aaron is not here with us today, but we do have a special guest. We have Ruben Nahara, who is an actor, musician, comic book writer, comic shop owner, and professional skateboarder. how's it going tonight, Ruben?
Thank you very much for having me. This is going to be awesome. Looking forward to our conversation. Yeah, this will be fun. I've listened to the podcast before, so I'm a fan of just everything in comics in general. So sometimes when you guys have had like the different battles of the characters and stuff, like I vividly remember the Swamp Thing one, you know, because I was before I even started that episode, I was like, well, Swamp Thing has to win, you know.
Are you talking about the final from last year?
I've been listening for a while, yeah, but I was a big Swamp Thing fan, so when I saw it, I was Team Swamp Thing already on the go.
He is, like, the biggest Swamp Thing fan I know, so it was even hard for me to come to this decision that concluded that. I'm not going to give too much away here on the podcast.
Yeah, because if you're listening, you should definitely go.
Yes, you should go.
Listen to it, but it pained me how that episode ended. Let's just say that.
No shade to Swamp Thing at all.
I'm a big Swamp Thing fan.
Oh yeah,
so we're on this same boat.
Oh yeah, yeah. Love some Swamp Thing.
I have the action figures. In my personal collection, I actually have the world's only 9.8 CGC 9.8 Swamp Thing number one, signed by Len Wein and Bernie Wrightson, which is the only one in existence that CGC. You know how CGC, like, they have to have a witness there for the graded books? And so it's the only one that has both their signatures. Unfortunately, they both passed. So, you know, it's not like someone can obtain that again, but it's a yellow label, 9.8, perfect copy. And that's, like, one of, like, my prized books in my personal collection, you know?
That would be one of mine as well. I'm not lucky enough to have one of those, though.
It's okay. One day.
One day. One day. But I mean, did you get your hands on that through MetaHuman Comics, or did that before when you were just a collector?
That one, honestly, I actually won it in a auction in Comic Link, like an online auction.
Oh wow!
And I had turned in a bunch of books. I had a giant collection of. I did this at the right time, but I had like a mass collection of my own PC stuff and. Yeah, I pretty much, like 80 to 90% of the collection that I had, I turned it into the auction house, and they gave me credit towards what I won, and I won that Swamp Thing book, and I also won, like, a copy of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number one in 9.8. So, and now that book's, like, nuclear as far as, like, value, but I got it at a relatively lower price at the time, but it was, which was still high. People probably still thought I was crazy for paying as much as I did at that time, but honestly, like, I'm such a fan of that, like, I just, for me, it was a no-brainer. It's like, I'm not, you know, if I get rid of everything I have just for a few things that I really want, it makes me happier, because at the end of the day, I can have a mass collection of a bunch of things and they're just in boxes and I can't look at them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or you forget you have them.
Yeah.
And so I kind of just got rid of a lot of that for just a few things that I could put out that I look at that make me smile every day, you know? And I'm just like, oh, it's so cool I have it, you know? So that's kind of the way I changed up my collecting habit in terms of like comic books, like key issues, right?
Yeah. No. That makes sense. That makes so much sense. We literally have boxes of cards in here.
Yeah, sports cards. I used to work for a sport card company. And now I just have sport cards that I'm not even sure what's in them.
Yeah.
But
you're not sure what's in them. That's kind of fun.
If it was anything good.
Yeah. So, like baseball, basketball, all of your
I have baseball, football, basketball.
Do you have any soccer? Yeah.
Nice. That would be fun, dude. Digging through that and just seeing what you got or what you forgot you had. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty cool, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's how working for that company is how I got all these Grady ones up there. And there's a few off the camera that you can't see right now. But nothing nearly as high as that swamp thing or anything like that.
Hey, I mean, it's you know, I had to, you know, like I was saying, I had a giant collection because I've been collecting pretty much all my life. And, you know, like I'm in my late 30s now. So, like, I essentially just kind of decided a few years ago and with, you know, just kind of get rid of most of it for the things that I really, really want, things that I looked at. And it's like, could I ever have that? And like when I calculate everything else that I got, it's like I can get rid of everything to have that one or two things. I'd rather do that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I, you know, did with my collection. Like I have movie props because of that.
I have a few
CGC key issues, you know, I have some rare action figures and I just kind of liquidated pretty much what I had just so it's easier to I can appreciate it more, and if I had to move it, it's easier to move because there's less of it.
That is very true.
That is very true.
Yeah. I mean, I guess probably the closest thing we're going to have to that is, like, Pops. We have some decently rare, like, Funkos. But
vaulted Pops, right? Yeah.
Yeah, no, Aaron has the largest Pop collection out of all of us, though.
And he just keeps bringing them, and he just keeps having new ones so that we don't even know where he got them from.
He's making it less fun at this point. Like, you can't even get them for him for Christmas. He already got it.
You're at that point where it's like, am I just buying him a double?
He'll have two. Sell the one I bought him. So but
maybe the next step is like as a future gift, there's some really darn good Funko Pop custom makers, and just like make a custom Funko of him or something, you know?
He would actually love it.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
Yeah, no, I didn't even know. Thank you for that. I didn't know that was a thing.
You can tell him, I know you don't got that one.
Yeah.
And he definitely does not.
And he won't know. We don't listen to our own podcast, so he'll never find out.
No, we do not.
Yeah, no. It's weird listening to yourself talk.
Yeah. And I mean, as far as we knew, most of our fans were like in Germany. So
yeah.
Pretty big in Germany for whatever reason.
We love our German fans. Uh-huh. Though.
Love some German fans.
Cool. That's cool. Yeah, I found you all from just search engine. Like I'll just like, so what I do a lot of is like I'm always working on something. When I'm working on something, podcasts are like a beautiful thing because I can just leave them on and do my thing.
Very true.
And so eventually after doing that for a while, you kind of listen to a lot of different content. And so I just be typing like comic podcast, you know, and there's actually sites that have had you guys listed like as like in the category all the time, you know, so you do pop up, you know, so that's how I originally found you and how I first got introduced to the show. So,
well, sweet.
That's good to know.
Thank you for finding us.
Yeah, thanks for finding us.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. When you sent me that email about coming on the show, I looked you up on Instagram and I was like, he's got almost 12,000 followers. I don't think we're out of his pay grade. Like, we're below his pay grade here.
So the thing, I mean, I have I've had so many different things that I've done in my life and different careers that I've just built up following in like different categories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's kind of like where it all kind of accumulated from, really. You know, because in like my 20s, I was skateboarding professionally. And then I opened up a store, MetaHumans Comics, with money that I had saved up from my skateboarding career. And then I ended up starting a convention, a mm-hmm. whole convention show.
The Imperial Valley Comic Con.
Imperial Valley Entertainment Convention.
Yeah.
We did that for 3 years, and then COVID hit, and then we're going to come back again, obviously.
Okay, nice.
But just do a bunch of different things, you know? And right now I'm doing all the writing, you know? All the writing's coming to fruition right now, you know? We got this wonderful Archie blockbuster hit coming pretty soon in June, you know what I mean? So there's just a lot of cool things that you know, I mean, we have one life on this earth, and you know, I just want to do the things that I really want to do, that I enjoy, really. That's what it comes down to, you know.
That makes perfect sense.
I encourage everybody else, anyone that's listening out there, just, you know, pursue your dreams and do the things that make you smile. You know what I mean? You know, there's a saying, how does it go? It's like, if you would do it for free, I don't know if you've heard that saying before. If you would do it for free,
it sounds familiar.
You know, you enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Like,
yeah.
If you're not getting paid for it, that's how you know you really love it, because you would do it anyways, you know?
That is very true.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, we're doing this for free, so.
We do this for free, yes. But we enjoy it.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. Fantastic. There you go, you know?
Yeah.
Well, tell us.
I was going to ask about when is the Comic-Con or the convention usually take place?
So it's usually taking place, like the last one was in February. So this is pretty crazy. So the last one we did was in February 2020? It's crazy because it was like 2 or 3 weeks right before COVID hit.
Yeah.
So like we just barely snuck that one by, and then lockdown and everything hit, and then there hasn't been a show since then. But that show was our biggest show. We were already like clearing into like the low thousands in attendance, so it was already growing.
That is pretty good.
Yeah, on that last show, we had the guy who was the stunt actor for Boba Fett in the Star Wars movie. He was like one of our big guests that year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he's kind of like our Star Wars, he is our Star Wars mascot, Boba Fett, because in the Imperial Valley here where I'm from, if I were to drive 35 minutes towards Arizona, the dunes that are there, that's where they shot Return of the Jedi, Star Wars. So we're right smack, like.
Yeah, it's like right there.
Yeah, yeah, this is the desert. And the Mexico border is like, I can get there in like 12 minutes, you know?
That's so cool. I love finding out where they actually, like, shoot movies and stuff like that. Because you're watching it and you're like, where the hell did they find this place? Like, this doesn't look normal, but that's cool knowing now where it is.
Yeah, they shot a lot of things here. For a little while, I was doing a lot of small roles in films when they would pop around here. Like, I played a couple different bad guys in the movie Border Lost, and then The Bad Batch with like Keanu Reeves and Jim Carrey and Momoa and all these actors. I played like a skateboarder in that one. I did some stunts because they filmed those things down here. And so I would get involved. And there's a few films, obviously, that were before my time of doing that. They shot like Jarhead down here. They shot, like I said, Return of the Jedi. They shot some Stargate stuff. So all that like desert post-apocalyptic stuff, they shoot a lot of it out here in the valley. So, yeah, it has a lot of film history down around here.
That's pretty wild. That makes sense. How did you get into acting, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, so basically it's because of skateboarding. So I started getting hired when I made a transition from like it's just like a lifetime ago, because like I'm in like my late 30s now, but like in my early 20s. Right when I had like all the big sponsors and stuff, I transitioned and was starting to get paid for skateboarding, right, by sponsors and companies.
That's cool.
And getting like these signature products and stuff. But at the same time, I got involved with music videos where they needed skateboarders. It was kind of like a thing, like skateboarders for music videos, do cool stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember that time.
Yeah, this was when like X Games was like a big thing. You know what I mean? Like, I did Dude Tour 1 year because Power Bar was one of like my sponsors, and they were like the main sponsor of it. So like they would pay me to do this and that. And back in the day, like I was one of like the first. I was on like, the skate demo team. I was like the first or second skateboarder on Monster Energy back then. This is before they even had like an athletic team.
Oh,
they
would
just have us like do demos and stuff with like the BMX guys. It's a long time ago, but like, and this is like before corporate sponsorship like that was like accepted back then. Mm-hmm. A lot of the core skating would like hate on that because they'd be like, oh, you're selling out or whatever. But it was like, you know what I mean? Now it's like everyone has, you know,
Nike's
on. Back then they used to get looked down upon, you know what I mean?
Like, I mean, there's always something you're selling out on. So.
But I just wanted to just make a living and be able to like do what I loved, you know what I mean? So like if that made it possible, then I was open to it. I was never going to stop skateboarding, you know. To this day, I don't skateboard for anybody. I don't do it for a career, but I still do it because I love it. Sometimes I'll, and I just enjoy the feeling of it, you know what I mean? Just skateboarding, you know, the freedom of it. So, I would get hired to do skateboarding in music videos. And on one shoot in particular, there was a director named Wayne Isham. And he directed a bunch. He was a really cool, like, to me, he was cool to me. Mm-hmm. He directed, like, I think he's directed, like, Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson. He did, like, some stuff from Metallica. He did.
That is cool.
Man, his resume on, like, music videos is massive. And I asked him, when everyone got their paychecks and left, I actually asked him, like, do you mind if I just stick around and watch you guys get some of these other shots? And he let me just be behind the camera and everything. You know,
that's pretty cool.
I just thought it was kind of weird. Like this guy, you know, usually these people just take their money and they go, this guy wants, I'm not paying you. I was like, I don't care. Like, this is like film school for me. I like this stuff, you know?
Yeah, I would stay too.
I think he just kind of like, he got me in contact with some of the people. I was like, you know, if you're interested, I got some more work for you. It has nothing to do with skateboarding, you know? And, I was like, I'm down, you know, like, let me, you know, I'd like to just dabble and, you know, just be involved. And really, it wasn't even like the acting thing per se. I'm actually like really, really love the process of filmmaking. In general. I mean, I'd actually much rather direct something, you know what I mean? And make something, produce something, film something than actually be in something. But, you know, they would put me in a couple things and I'd just do some stunt work and play a couple little roles and stuff like that. I was always cast like as like a bad guy in a lot of things. I just had fun with it, you know what I mean? And that's how I got involved, you know? But I'll tell you, there was some funny things in some of the music videos back in the day when I would do like some of the assumptions that they would think. Like I remember there was this one band called Aiden, and there was a song called Moment. It's a music video. Mm-hmm. And I had a couple tricks that I had to do, like a 360 flip and this 360 thing. But it was so funny because there's this giant rail. It's like ridiculous. It's like 50 stairs or something. I'm like, there's like no runway. The ground is like has holes in it. And like, I remember that the director knew nothing about skateboarding. And at that time he was like, all right, guys, you're going to grind down the rail. And then they were like setting up the cameras. Then like me and the other skater, we were looking at each other like, this guy's crazy. Down the rail, we're going to die. You know, like just his expectations of like what we could do were like insane. You know, and it was like, dude, we don't do this. First off, I mean, even if we did this, I don't even think we're getting paid enough to do this. Like there's no like insurance, like, you know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was psycho. And it's just a psycho rail. It was like you die if you like bail at once, you know. And needless to say, that didn't happen. We didn't do it because we told him like, hey, this is too crazy. And he's like, okay, figure something else out, you know. And we just did like some ground stuff. But it was kind of funny, some of the expectations, you know what I mean? Like what they see, you know. It's like I think I heard it in another podcast where Tony Hawk was talking about how people just expected him to just do the 900 all the time. Like it was nothing, you know,
yeah.
Realize like how actually difficult it was for him when he did it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but they saw him like, do it, so he can do it.
Just pull out of the hat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Oftentimes in like film, they have so much unrealistic expectation. They're like, you got it.
I'm having trouble connecting to the internet. It looks like an issue with the router and Echo device, so try calling them.
I'm sorry.
All good.
Where even is it?
I don't know.
Wait, was that Alexa? Or are
yeah.
You serious?
She's like trying to get in on our conversation. She likes to talk for no reason.
She's dead now.
She's dead now.
Oh, man. Talking about the she's dead. All the, one of these days when we have an iRobot situation, right? And then we get that takeover of the humankind by robots.
Yeah, no.
It's like you've seen those videos with the, oh gosh, you know what I'm talking about. They're like knock down the robots with the stick and then they have
to get back up. Yeah, and then it stands back up or it doesn't fall over at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like one of these days they're going to watch those and they're going to be like, you know? And it's
going to be crazy. A lot to look forward to.
Yeah, no. Hopefully in the future. It weirds me out the more and more like things that we're creating. I don't remember if it was like Amazon that's doing it, but there's like a bot that like follows you around.
Amazon.
Yes. Oh, and yeah. It's like it has a face and you like tell it what you want and it can like control things in your home, and I was like, nope, that's too far for me.
Yeah, it's already crazy with like the suggestions of ads on phones already.
You know? Yes.
It doesn't make sense to me.
No.
But yeah. Oh. All right. So I was looking at your website and I saw some of MetaHuman's like what is it called? Specific, yeah, like Americans. The special issues, right?
Yeah, the store exclusives, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
How do you end up getting like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle one or a Nonstop Spider-Man number one or a Batman number 100? Like, how do you do they approach you or do you approach them for that kind of thing?
So basically, like the way it works is you earn the position to be in the position to be eligible for a variant like that.
Okay.
Really. And I think our position was essentially earned maybe like a few years ago, because we got nominated for an Eisner for my store.
Mm-hmm.
And
what is the Eisner Award?
So the Eisner Award is like the Grammys or the Oscars for like comic books. So for like as like a comic book store, it's like the best thing you could be nominated for is an Eisner, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like the best thing you could win. And we haven't won. We've only been, actually, this is pretty cool. We kind of breaking the news right here. We just got nominated again for an Eisner.
Oh, wow.
This year?
Yeah. So for 2021, right? It's kind of confusing, but yeah.
Yeah.
2021, yeah. Because now it's years over. So now they're doing the same. So it's our second nomination. But that first one, which was years back, I think like a store in Spain won that year or whatever. But it doesn't matter. Like when you're nominated, you're nominated.
Yeah, you're nominated.
Yeah, like Grammy nominated, whatever. He didn't win, but he was Grammy nominated.
Yeah, they count nominations as well.
Where do people go to like vote for you?
Yeah, is it like a popular vote or like?
Yeah, so the Eisners has like a committee of people that vote. And then the comic book category, which is the Spirit of Eisner Award, is actually by like a lot of it I think is based on like people just generally sending in messages like, I recommend this store, they've been good, you know what I mean, they're good, they deserve it or whatnot. And that's through San Diego Comic-Con's website, which is like the big show, right?
Okay.
Well, that one in New York, right? Those are the two big shows. Which I still really want to go to New York Comic Con someday. I haven't been there. I've been to New York. I went to New York Toy Fair, maybe like right before pandemic hit, but I intended to go to New York Comic Con and then obviously that didn't happen because everything got shut down. Right.
But yeah.
One of these days I'll go.
Yeah. San Diego is definitely on our
our bucket our list bucket for list, sure.
For sure.
Yeah, it's so packed though. It's so out of hand now, right? Well, I say that was before pandemic, right? Well, it's probably going to even come back to the same, right? Because the
probably.
I mean, if you just see like the Coachella festival that just happened, maybe like an hour and a half from here, that was packed. So true. I guess it doesn't matter, right? Everything's back to get back, you know, crowd wise. But yeah, I definitely recommend it. You know, San Diego Comic-Con, you know, I'm not 100% sure. I thought I read somewhere that New York has more attendance, but I think a lot of that has to do that, like, New York can fit more people because that Javits Center is so big. It's stunningly massive. And I remember being there for Toy Fair, and it felt like it was still empty. You know what I mean? Like, they couldn't fill it. And at San Diego Comic-Con, the problem there is that there's not enough space because you can't even keep building because the ocean's right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. That makes sense.
It just can't, like, you're going to panels like in hotel rooms next door. That's where the point of that's at, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just so full that even if the attendance isn't as much as New York in terms of numbers, the sheer amount of people that are at the show makes it feel like there's more, even if there's not, just because you're like huddled together.
You're just all in there. Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, the one that we went to was at a convention center in downtown.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like it felt like it could have been bigger, I guess. There was like, there was a bunch of empty rooms that they weren't using, but there was still probably, I don't know, maybe 1,000 tables there, it felt like.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that one could conceivably be like maybe 5,000 vendors.
Yeah. What would you say the largest in Texas is, the largest show period?
Probably the one you went to.
Yeah, it's probably that one. What is that called?
Is it the Dallas Convention?
Fan Expo.
Fan Expo. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's probably the Fan Expo. It might be TriStar in Houston. But I've been to the TriStar one, and it was still like rebounding off of the pandemic and everything, but it wasn't nearly as packed as Fan Expo was. But Fan Expo also had some pretty decent size, like pretty decent names there signing, like Adam Savage and like the entire cast of
MythBusters and all that.
No, yeah. What is that? What is that? That anime? Oh my god, they're gonna kill me.
If you give me a hint, maybe I can guess it.
They're like in a school and they have superpowers.
Oh, My Hero Academia.
Yes, like the entire cast of My Hero Academia was there.
Okay. Oh. Yeah.
And stuff like that, and the 501st, obviously, because they go to all of these things.
Yeah, we had the 501st at our show here.
501st, man, they're pretty dope. They go out for anything, I feel like. Like, at least a little bit, a part of them.
They're really cool. They're really cool group of people.
Yeah.
It's really cool because a lot of the 501st that we have here in the Valley, they actually work at the Navy base here because we have the, we're like the official home away during the winter for like the Blue Angels.
Oh.
Or like the Jets. Yeah. So like, I'm literally like maybe, I'm not kidding, like 4 or 5 miles away from where their port is, you know? Yeah, where they land and stuff. So it's pretty crazy. So we get like a free Blue Angel show when they're practicing out here. Yeah.
I would love
that. We see the whole routine before the thing even like happens, you know?
Goals.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. But yeah, like, you know, and back to the exclusives. Basically, like, I think you just kept, once you do one variant, like, what was our first one? The first exclusives we did were with Valiant.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we got the Dynamite ones. We did Vampirella, Red Sonja. We did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which was my favorite one, actually, because the Ninja Turtle one, I had a local artist who's used to work on the Archie Ninja Turtles that I grew up reading.
Yeah.
Dave Garcia. He did the covers for those Archie TMNT that I grew up reading. And then he did the cover for our store exclusive. And he actually, the cool part is he drew me skateboarding in the corner with Mondo Gecko. So I have like a little cameo on the book, which is awesome. And Peter Laird, who's the co-creator of the Ninja Turtles, loved it. And he put like, he sent us some cool comments like, my favorite part is the little skateboarder. And then like, and then Dave and they're like, well, that's the owner of the comic shop. And he's like, oh, you know, great. Like Peter Laird, like so awesome. So like, and Kevin Eastman's awesome too, but I feel like Laird doesn't get, you know, we all, Kevin Eastman is the man, but so is Peter Laird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like both of those two, you know, I think Laird should get more credit too, you know, cause he is co-creator. So
yeah.
A lot of people often forget him. That's actually a signature that eludes me. I don't have a Peter Laird signature. It's hard to get his signature on things.
Man.
And then we would end up doing the DC Batman book. And mm-hmm. then we got the Spider-Man Marvel one, which by the way, shows my love for Archie. Cause we did an Archie milkshake.
I saw that
cover on that one.
I saw that.
Yeah. My friend, David Nakayama did the art for us on that. I've worked with David Nakayama a few times. So, which is, it's like his year right now. He's been knocking it out of the park with his covers all over the place. And yeah, that's, you know, that's pretty much how you get in, and we can keep doing them, but I've pretty much done all the ones that we wanted to do in the span that we had, you know, we can keep going with them, but that really wasn't the point wasn't to like make money from them. The point was to like fulfill a dream that we had of doing those, you know?
That makes sense.
I know it sounds crazy, but it really comes down to like the heart for me on a lot of things, you know? And it's like when we did them, we did them. And I know a lot of other places will keep making them and keep milking out of it. But for me, it was like kind of, you know, how do you say it? Cross the bucket list.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? We
yeah.
got to do all the cool ones. You know, maybe something will pop up someday. But for the most part, I'm, in terms of that, the store goes on and I'm focused on just my writing for Archie and any other projects that I have that come along the way, you know, anything else mm-hmm. that I'm working on. You know, I have some self-published, or how do you call it, like original IP stuff that I'm making right now,
yeah.
you know, that I'll end up putting out. So, yeah, just working on a lot of different projects.
That makes sense. Yeah, Aaron and I have a bunch of stories for comic books, but can't find an artist, so...
Yeah, finding the artist is the hardest part.
Yeah.
I think getting the cover artist is easy. Getting the person who's going to do your interiors is hard.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Because that person has a larger commitment, you know?
Yeah. They
and
do.
I feel that they are highly underappreciated and undervalued sometimes because they do the bread of the work, you know?
They do.
They do a lot, and they got to tell the story, you know?
Yeah. yeah.
They bring it to life, basically.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean, at the end of the yeah. day, the medium is visual before anything else.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that's their part.
Yeah. I'm so fortunate on the Archie. So the book that I have coming out with Archie is the best Archie comic ever.
Yeah.
And it's like the blockbuster hit. And I don't just say this just to pitch sell. Like, I'm not kidding. As an Archie fan growing up, I mean, Archie was the first, those double digests, those little, you know, that you get like at the cash register when you're leaving out when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That was my first like comic that like I actually purchased, like had, you know what I mean? Like that wasn't like handed down to me like from who knows, you know. And like it's full circle now to be able to write for them. It's a big deal for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a dream come true in that sense. And like I mean, in this book, I'm really fortunate that the interior artist who did the art on my story in there is Georgia Esposito.
Mm-hmm.
And she is actually, a lot of people know her from the Doctor Who series.
Mm. Oh, really?
And,
wow.
Yeah, she did like a lot of the artwork on that. And I think like a comic book resource right now, or CBR.com, that really well-known site. They have like two preview pages of Esposito's work in there. And she's just a terrific artist, and I'm really fortunate to be paired with her to tell my story, because there's three different stories in this book. And so I tell the final story in there, and it's called Operatives, and it takes place in an opera, and they're agents. So I get to write Betty and Veronica, and I also have Archie in there as well, which is awesome, and Dilton. And it's Betty and Veronica, and they're a team up. They're femme fatale super spies. You know what I mean? It's a tale of espionage, and it's fun. It really is.
It sounds fun.
And yeah. Georgia does a great job with the art. And then the cover of the book, love the covers too. The cover A is done by Tim Seeley.
It's a pretty good cover.
And then cover B is done by Tom Whalen. Actually, Tom Whalen has done some really good action figure box art too for Hasbro recently. I think he did the Power Rangers stuff. We just have a kick-ass team all around. And then our editor, Jamie Lee Rotante, she's freaking awesome. I adored working with her on this. Coolest editor I've worked with. Went back and forth on it. It was really cool to work with her because Jamie was like a prior writer of Betty and Veronica. So, like, I kind of get to work on the mantle after her. And so she knows the characters very well. And so we're kind of back and forth on some things. And that was a joy to work with her on that. And just the whole team on this book is spectacular. And I've really just enjoyed the experience. And there's a lot of other things that I've written as well. But this is the one that we had, the big one we have coming first, because this is the blockbuster hit, you know?
Yeah.
It sounds like a really good collaboration between all of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
It is, yeah. It really, really is. It's the coolest experience I've had, with a team like this. Everyone's in the loop, you know what I mean? We're kind of seeing everything going and the process. A lot of people don't understand. There's a lot of work that goes into these, you know, because I'm on point with my scripts, and I've never missed a deadline. I always hit it. But even if I'm on point, and it goes out, a lot of people aren't aware that, there's a lot of different cogs that make the clock spin. You know what I mean?
Because
it goes off to, the artist, and then it needs to be inked, and then, I need to bring in the colors, and then there's a letterer, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then the editor is going through everything, making sure that it fits, you know, or what alterations need to be made, you know?
Yeah.
And then you have the cover, and then the cover has its own inker and colorist and so on and so forth, you know? And then all the things that follow it. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to put one book out, and it really makes you appreciate that one thing when you hold it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think the coolest part about this book is how easy it is for anyone who wants to pick it up and read, because it's a one-shot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't go wrong. You know, and you get the three stories in there, and I believe the cover is like $3.99. So it's nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
for three stories,
definitely worth pickup. So for anyone, you know, everyone that's listening, you know, hit up your local LCS and get yourself a copy. You know, you won't regret it. Yeah,
no, nationwide.
Definitely. Excuse me.
Nationwide. Distribution?
Nationwide, yeah. June 15th.
June 15th. I'm going to write it down.
Yeah, no.
Be in a comic book store on June the 15th.
We're going to go looking, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're going to have you sign it.
Have it. It's going to be everywhere. It's no joke. It's like probably the biggest Archie comic to come out in years, honestly, you know, that's going to come to this widespread, because it's literally like Archie as a superhero, you know? There's actually the other two stories there, and they're really good too. There's a Jughead the Burgarian, because we all know he likes his burgers. It's kind of like he's like a barbarian. And that's Jed Daughtry does the art on that one. And then you've got the other story, Once We Were Heroes, and that's with the art by Tim Seeley. And it's written by Fred Van Lent, who a lot of you are familiar with a lot of his Valiant stuff. We have a really good team on this book.
Yeah, sounds like
you get 3-for-1 in that book, you know.
Sounds like it.
When you were like going through and the writing, like what is your writing process to like get this story?
Yeah, so there's a couple, in the beginning, there's a couple pinpoints to hit, different stories that like my editor will like pre-pitch. That's like, okay, we want to do something like this, like this, like this, like this, like this. Do any of these interest you? And I'll write these like quick, like summary scripts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then wherever she feels like I fit into, good. Okay, I like that one. Let's put you on that one. And that's the one I dive into, you know?
Yeah.
And then there might be two or three other ones that are like, this one's pretty good too, but that one's due later. Let's finish this one. So I finish that one, you know?
Yeah.
And so they kind of come in line like that. And so, you know, and even then I have to do my concept and ideas. Like, when I originally did this story, Operatives is what it is right now, but it was actually a different story beforehand. And then it ended up being Operatives, you know? So sometimes I'll go do a couple different scripts, and you might do a whole script and then have to scratch and toss a thing and start all over, yeah, you know, with a completely different direction sometimes. And like, that's just the way it is. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
So I'm just always writing and just always on it. And sometimes you get in the zone, and when you're on fire, you just got to keep going, because when you're onto something, you got to see it through. And I think that's definitely the biggest thing, is like, just write and see it through, you know, because sometimes even if something isn't unraveling itself, it'll unravel itself through time, and you kind of get into the story, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Like I remember when I was writing this story, this is kind of cool, but this is pretty random too. When I was writing Operatives, I had like a YouTube soundtracks playing, like no words, but just soundtracks. And the theme song to like the Bourne series, the Jason Bourne series, you know?
Yeah.
And the theme song to that, da, 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 you know, like that little,
yeah,
you know what it is, you know?
Yeah.
Very spy espionage, like that sucker came on, and like I ended up just having that thing on a loop. And so that thing kind of like, I was, as that theme song was going on, I had all this, what you're going to read in Operatives taking place. You know what I mean?
So yeah, it was like your sense. Muse, that song.
This espionage super spy story. And yeah, it's just really cool. You know, it really goes with it. So if anyone puts a little soundtrack together with it, you can kind of see what the headspace I was in. But yeah, that's kind of a little tidbit to it. And you know what? Which is really fun is that, I got to create a villain. There's a villain
in
my story. His name is Big Carp. And he's like this mob boss kind of guy. And all of his like goons got like these little fish hook logo insignias on their suits and stuff. And it's pretty cool. So he got this new villain. You don't really get too many first appearances in Archie comics too often, especially villains. Yeah. So this is also a key issue in that sense, you know?
It
so
is.
Heads up to anyone that collects them for like a key issue worthiness or collectability. This is one with a new villain in it too.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool what, too. That's that
I'm
you got
when
to
I,
like.
When
unicorn.
I get this, I'm sending it to you. I'll have you sign it.
Hey, you got it. Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
Yeah. That way, I'll have a signature.
Yeah, we'll have our. You'll be our first signature.
Yeah, you'll be our first signature comic. There.
Hey, you got it. You got it. No charge. Yeah. Make it happen. Yeah, that. Thank you. Appreciate the support.
Yeah, no problem.
No, of course.
Yeah.
Thank you for the support for us too.
I'll set a reminder. We'll put something out on June the 15th as well.
Yes, for sure.
Awesome.
Because we're gonna go looking for it.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, we got nothing else to do. It's the summer, so.
No.
Yeah, the two covers are great. Have you seen both of the covers, or just the cover A?
I think I have seen just. I know for sure I've seen the
cover
first
A.
one. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. There's also another cover that's pretty cool too. So what's really cool is like the cover is kind of shows you a preview of like you see the Super Archie flying in the air. You know what
yeah,
I mean? And
yeah.
You see, what's cool is you see like Veronica like in the red dress. You know what I mean? And then in the story, you know, Betty's gonna have the blue dress, and there's gonna be like a cool like. Team up, you know what I mean? But you kind of see like the previews of like what's kind of hinted that's going to come in the comic, and yeah, it really is like a blockbuster. It's like an Archie movie inside of a comic, and And honestly, like, that's what attracts me the most about writing comics and why I love to do it and just love comic books as a medium is that, like when you have restrictions, like making film and movies and stuff like that and doing certain things, like when you're writing, you don't really have any restrictions. You could make a million or billion dollar movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can do that, you know, and you know what I mean, in a comic book, you know what I mean? You can take characters to a faraway galaxy or build worlds and create characters, you know what
That's
I mean,
so
in different
true.
Dimensions, or you could just sky's the limit, really, and I just love that, you know?
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I never thought of it like that, but you're right. Like, you can kind of really do whatever your imagination takes you to,
you
really.
Do anything, you know? Reminds me, like, when I was, you know, and we were, like, you know, younger, you know, little kids and just playing with action figures and building your own scenarios and, you know, action figures and dolls, anything that you had, any toys, you're just making these worlds and scenarios and anything that you had and, like, you're just, the world is at your fingertips and the story goes however you want the story to go, you know?
Exactly.
And I think a lot of people maybe just kind of lose that, you know,
That's
through
true.
Time. And like, it's, you don't really have to lose that. You can always exercise the mind and write. And if you ever want to just make something, even if you don't have a publisher, I would tell people, just, you know, encourage them, like, do your thing. You know what I mean? Just do your thing and make it a reality, you know?
I never know.
If you have your story, put it out there, make it, you know. Before I was writing on the Archie projects, I had released a children's book and we had a successful Kickstarter and it was called Chiquita the Vaquita. And it was about a little a near extinct.
Yeah, there's only 168 of them.
Yeah, a near extinct vaquita porpoise. It's the most endangered sea animal in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I mean, there might only be like 8 of them left, right? And
very, very few.
And I mean, and my whole goal with that book was just to give exposure to it. And
that's cool.
Just to see people who have emailed back and be like, I did not know about this. Like, thank you for making the book. Like, that, for me, it's like, that was the goal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just to get the awareness out there, because I know I can't save this endangered animal, but I might have extended its life for a little bit because of the exposure. You know what I mean? And maybe a few donations that people made to the people that are out there in the life, you know, reserve and the research and all the stuff that they do to try to help this, you know, this near endangered little sea animal. You know, so that's another project that I put out. You know, no one told me to do it. It's just something I really wanted to do. And it's a children's book. It's actually bilingual. It's in English and Spanish. Hmm. So, and we donated a bunch to libraries. A lot of the profits from the final Kickstarter we donated to for research to help them as well. And then there's a few remaining copies. So if anyone's interested, as you know, listening, we do have a few remaining copies on my website that you could get, and it comes with like a free holographic stickers and a postcard and stuff like that.
Oh,
but
cool.
And it's a board book, so it's a board book, so like if you ever seen like the children's book,
yeah,
you can it on like you know what I mean, it's like really sturdy, you know, it's like it's meant to take abuse, so really high quality. But that's just kind of an example of like, you know, if you have an idea, just
go for it.
Do it,
basically.
You know, go for it. Exactly. You know, we just self-published it. Even to get it into libraries and stuff, you're required to have an ISBN number and the barcode in the back.
Yeah.
You can actually buy that yourself. You don't need a publisher to do that. You can buy your own ISBN and barcode. And then by doing that, when you buy it, you just type in the information of what you want it to scan up as, and then at that point libraries can have it, even stores can have it, and they could scan and it'll pop up information, they can set a price, and so I mean there's really no reason why you can't, you know what I mean? And that's not even a comic book, that's a children's book.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, you just write your own novel if you wanted, you know what
you
I mean
want, yeah you could
yeah you know it it's you know it, it sky's the limit, you know, if you really want to do it, you could just make it, put it out there. You know,
it's so true.
I highly encourage anyone, you know, listening, to just, you know, make it happen, pursue, because you'll never regret it for the rest of your life. Like, I always think like this, like, even if something wasn't successful, but you really wanted to do it, like, you're going to look back on your life and you're going to be like, well, I did it.
That's true.
You know,
exactly.
So you win. Who cares if no one, even as many people as you thought would have like dug it, really dug it. It doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, you made it, you know?
Yeah.
And you're never going to regret 20 years later holding that tangible thing and being like, I made this, you know? You got it printed. Like, you know, it's like, you know, it's like right now, like I'm starting to record all like the songs that I've made. Like, I'm doing a lot of the music stuff that I want to do. And eventually I'm going to go into a studio and record everything and make a CD, you know?
Why not?
I'm never going to regret that, because, you know, 30 years from now, I can look back and that. I mean, look at that. I had my CD. This is what I was doing. Or this is that moment in time. These are the songs I wrote. Like, you know what I mean? You just can't go wrong, you know? And I mean, who knows? Maybe someone actually digs it and picks it up. And the next thing you know, like, I'm a signed artist, right? Like, that could happen too. But like, I think some of the coolest results happen when like, you're not even almost expecting it, but you're just so passionate about it. I think a lot of times you have success because of the passion regardless, you know?
That's true.
It shows, you know, because the authenticity is there, you know? So.
Yeah, I mean, that's how most of this has continued to happen anyways.
Yeah.
This podcast is that we just enjoy doing it. And then we just look up and we're at 80. It'll be 87 episodes after this one.
Yeah.
And that's
no idea where that came from, but.
Yeah, you're doing it. This is a living testament to just making it happen, you know?
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, it is. It's a struggle sometimes, but it's worth it.
Everything in life is a struggle, though.
Nothing's really easy. And the weird thing is, a lot of the things that are, you know, it's a good word for that, daunting.
Yes.
Like, daunting is like the word of the day. But like, a lot of things seem daunting, like in that sense. But when you start to do it, sometimes you realize, like, holy shit, it really wasn't that hard. It was just like me getting around.
Yeah.
It was like the process of thinking about it, like, oh, I have to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
This can be so much work. And then when you start to do it, when you're like halfway done or you're nearly done, you're like, holy shit, I'm already done. Like, what was I tripping on earlier? You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's like, it really is that initial, like, ugh, you know? Like,
yeah.
We just got to get rid of that, the piece, and just, you know, just make it happen, you know?
Yeah. You just got to get over that first hump. After you get over that first hump, it's just like, well, I'm doing it now, so I can't stop.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, might as well finish it. Sometimes it's like, might as well finish. It's like, I don't even care how this comes out. We're just going to finish this. And, like, you're just better off by just finishing it, you know? Like sometimes, like, especially now, because like my past history, like skating, like I started to get more into like jogging and stuff, picking all that cardio back up right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'll start to like jog and like I'll start to like maybe feel a little pain like in my ankle, you know what I mean? And it's like, okay, this is gonna suck, you know? And like I'll just start doing it. And after a while, I kind of just get warmed up. Next thing you know, like I'm past a mile. Next thing you know, like a mile and a half. And it's like, okay, we're doing this. So I'm already like past, you know what I mean? Like we're good, you know. It just seemed really difficult in the beginning because it really was, but look where we are now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just life, just the way it is, right?
Yeah, I gotta tell you, man, this is probably the most inspirational episode we've had.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
I mean, you know, I've had a lot of battles and stuff. I know what it is. To be completely honest, I mean, I know that my ambition and my work ethic comes a lot from skateboarding, my past history skateboarding, because you're so used to falling down and getting back up that I carry that with me all my life into everything that I do. It's just everything. I could think that for everything. I don't have to do that as a career anymore. You know, that ended long ago in that sense. But I always carry the lessons that I got from doing that, you know, with everything that I do about falling and getting back up. And you're not going to land the trick unless you keep trying, right? I just kind of see that with everything, you know, and it's not going to be easy. Of course, it's going to be hard a couple of times, but eventually you're going to land it right. And I just kind of do that with everything, you know, and it's just really, you know, straightforward and ruthless on getting it done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just get it done, you know? Yeah. Just push through the weeds on that sense. Yeah.
No, I love that you said that, because I feel like a lot of times, especially in our society, we just want to win so bad, but we don't want to, like, you know, be okay with the lows of things, or, like, you know, even showing the lows of things. And so I love that you said, like, just being okay with, like, falling down and continuing to go and getting back up, because that's really where you learn the most and you grow the most. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, you know, actually, to elaborate on what you just said, actually brings up a good point. There have been times, and even now, like not that long ago, because obviously I can't skate like I did when I was younger, right? But the other day, it was a little bit windy, which is not good when you're skating, right? And I was out there trying to get some exercise, you know. I'd done like a jog, and I was trying to get a couple tricks, and I'll just go and just skate by myself. Like, it's just, I have no problem. Like, I started skating by myself. I'll skate by myself now, you know. Like, that's what I love about it the most, is the independence and the freedom of that sense.
Yeah.
But I hit a pebble, okay? Little insignificant little pebble, but it's enough to take you down, and with the wind pushing. And when I started skating, I wasn't really, like, loose, and I guess I feel like maybe I was taking it for granted.
Mm.
And I wasn't, like, alert. Obviously, I didn't see the pebble, and that pebble took me out, and I fell, right? I slammed, and I went to my back, right? Ooh. And, you know, the slams hurt now.
Yeah.
I can dig, right? So I slammed down, and, like, I caught myself on my back. I didn't hit my head or anything, but I kind of did, like, an armadillo, like, bundled up. It's funny how that instinct still, my body still remembers it. And then instead of getting up really fast, I kind of got up and just kind of, like, Indian style on the ground. Like, grown-ass man on the ground, right? Like, on the skateboard, I'm milling, or who knows who saw me fall or whatever. And I just sat there, and I was just thinking. Like, now the adrenaline's up when I fell. And then I got back up, and you know what? I was more alert than ever. It was like a wake-up call, you know? Like, that fall was, well, like, it sounds weird, but that fall was what, like, I needed, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, when I got up, I didn't miss a beat. You'd think some people would maybe get up and leave, and they're like, I fell, I'm done. No, I fell, and I got back up, and then I was like, all right, it's on. And then after that, like, every trick, my little routine, I landed everything afterwards, because now I was, like, alert. Now I was looking out for the pebbles on the ground. Like, I wasn't taking anything for granted. I was, like, precisionally, like, I don't want to hit that. I don't want to hit that. I don't want to make that mistake. There's a crack here. And, and I landed everything, and then I got the heck out of there. But it's weird how it took that fall. You know what I mean? Because when I got there, I underestimated it, and I just thought, you know?
Yeah.
I was kind of lately doing some things, and that little tumble woke me up, and from then I was like, okay, I can't do that again, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and it's weird, and I think just a lot of things are like that, you know? You just have to, like, sometimes just come back again, and you just, like, kind of learn from that mistake, you know? Like, I'm not going to do that again. And yeah, it sucked, but I think I needed that thing to suck to, like, understand that I'm not going to let that thing happen again. And I think you can add that analogy to just anything that you really do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just anything, you know, even like if you have like, you know, I mean, I kind of put that even towards like, your relationships or, you know, people who I thought were friends or things like that, or think people that did me wrong. It's kind of, you just kind of like learn these lessons through life where it's like, that person keeps doing that. Maybe that's toxic and I don't need that person anymore. You know what I mean? Like, things that affect you. And even those things you can translate as that where like, all right, like I don't have to make a thing about it, you know, but I just don't need that person, you know what I mean? To in my life to bring me down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And no, even that could be in comparison to like, falling down and hitting a pebble, or maybe doing business with a certain person who always screwed you over, and you're like, okay, you know what I mean? We'll make that mistake again, so on and so forth. You know what I mean? You apply it to everything. It's crazy how you can apply it to like everything, you know?
Yeah.
That's true.
It's pretty wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, anyone that's, you know, listening out there, if you're in a rut, you know, or if you're having trouble getting started, I say just do it. You know what I mean? Just do it. And find that, yeah, sure, it's probably hard and probably sucks in the beginning, but eventually you get it done. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You do. Yeah.
That's true. And even if you fail the first time, it's not over.
No.
We had another podcast before this one.
We did.
What's funny about that too is sometimes, a lot of times, it's the journey that was more the better part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh no.
It's because
don't cut out.
And it was like, it was that whole ride on the way there. You know what I mean? That was like, oh, that's the part I loved, you know, the grind, yeah. You know, and you end up looking back at it like that, you know, that happens too, you know?
Yeah, it does. Man.
Yeah. It's like, even like with me, like I even noticed that, this is a funny analogy, but I even noticed that with like, collecting like, action figures and things like when, you know, cause I've been collecting for a long time, but I had gotten to a point where I was trying to collect like one of everything on certain things. And like, I ended up just having them all like in like the boxes and stuff, like I said, but I just appreciated more the few things that I kept. Right. And it's just kind of like, I think the collecting part was what I liked the most. You know what I mean? Like, oh, God, this one's going in there.
It is
fun. And, like,
fun.
That was, like, I end up finding out, like, that was the funnest part. You know what I mean?
It is.
Yeah.
Very much so.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, I got this new thing. This is so cool. And then you put it in a box. And then it loses that.
But then you can look at the pieces you got. And if you got one that really, really stands out to you, then you know like that thing is something special. Maybe you don't need everything else, but that one that makes you smile and that one's special. And maybe that's the one that ends up going on your desktop or next to you, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's the one that you cherish, yeah.
I know that all too well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I just want to do things, but it's like 11. Yeah, I'm all motivated now. Oh.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, just encourage everyone, you know, that's listening. Just chase it, make your dreams happen, you know, can do it. Seems like we're going in a direction where, you know, I mean, it's not a perfect world yet. We still have issues with all, you know, some of the COVID stuff out there, but I mean, we're starting to get back to more events coming back, right? In normalcy to some extent, right? Which is cool. So that's a positive, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, where there's darkness, there's going to be light, right? Eventually.
Always.
So
always.
We're going to get there. Yeah. It's pretty cool. So,
I mean, next time you have your your Comic-Con or your convention, if you need like, you know, special guests or, you know, like some panelists or something,
I'll have you all run a whole panel.
We would love to.
The Nerdament panel from 1 to 2 p.m. or something, you know.
Yeah, you know where to find me.
Yeah. We have so many people that we could talk about for so long. So
way too many.
Too many.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, that'd be sweet. I'm not kidding either. I'm going to hold you
neither
to it.
Neither am I. Yeah.
Yeah, no. We would love to come to California again.
Yeah. When you did come to Cali, did you go to, you were like in L.A., Orange County, San Diego? Where'd you come exactly?
We were in San Diego and then L.A.
Yeah.
And then L.A. Okay.
We should have reversed
it. What were your thoughts on San Diego and LA?
San Diego.
They're so different from each other, that's why.
We enjoy San Diego.
We love San Diego.
LA was...
It was hard. Different. It was an adjustment. Because we went from San Diego, which is very chill, very relaxed, serene. Yeah. And then you get thrown into LA, which is just like...
And you sit on a train for 5 hours.
Yes. Anywhere you're trying to go, it's just you're mostly sitting in traffic just to get there. And then you spend like maybe an hour in the place and then back into traffic just to get home. So that was definitely like, we definitely should have done LA first and gotten like that whole vibe out the way and then went to San Diego and chilled. But we did the flip flop, but
I lived in Orange County for like 6 years, and Orange County is right smack in between San Diego and LA, so it's in the center. And it was beautiful there. I actually prefer Orange County over both of them. I don't think I could live in LA just because of like what you said. It's just too much
hectic-ness.
You know, I'd rather be outside. I grew up in the desert. You know what I mean? I'm used to like the vibes of like I can handle the loneliness. I don't need to hear the sounds of blaring all day of the of sirens or what, you know what I mean? Like,
very like, familiar.
I'm okay with visiting every once in a while to do some work and business. You know what I mean? That's of course. But I don't want to actually like live amongst that. You know what I mean? So
it's a lot.
It's so much nicer when you don't hear those things every morning. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So if you're in San Diego, Imperial Valley, where we do our show, that and where my store is, MetaHumans Comics, that is an hour and a half drive east.
Oh, okay.
So if you're in San Diego, it's an hour and a half drive east. And then you can't miss it because we're the only like town. It'll say El Centro, you know?
Yeah.
And then that's where we're at.
That towards towards Yuma.
Yes. So right smack before you hit Yuma, it's still in California though.
Yeah.
On your right, if you're driving on that same freeway, if you look to your right before you get to Yuma, you're not in Yuma yet. If you look to your right, those dunes, that's where Return of the Jedi was shot.
Oh, okay.
I've driven through there.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
They're really nice. They look really, really cool when you're driving past them. And then you end up hitting the Arizona state line, and then you get into Yuma. Yuma has this really cool prison museum. It's a
That's what I've heard.
Prison.
That's what I've heard.
Have you ever seen the movie 310 to Yuma?
I've heard of it. I don't think I've seen it though.
I haven't seen it.
It's a really good Western. It's really good actually. I think it's is it Christian Bale? It's in it. That one actor who's really good, what is his name? He plays a villain in it. He's a really good actor though, man. I'm blanking on his name, but he's really good in it. But anyways, it's like it's a really good movie. I recommend. It's called 310 to Yuma. It's a good film, but it's about them trying to take the train. Well, I'm not gonna spoil it, but you know, there's a train that's going to Yuma, and they're trying to take him to that prison, right?
Yeah.
And the prison, you can actually see the prison. It's an actual museum that you could see, and it's really cool. It's really cool. It's like
that sounds cool.
And you trip out when you see it because it's just like old. I like all those ghost towns and Western things. You know, yeah. I love that stuff. You know, I've always dug that.
I've seen that museum in a YouTube video about ghosts.
That makes sense. There are a lot of things on YouTube.
Yeah, they still have all the cells there, and they've got, it's like over this bridge.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly. I think the Colorado River like flows right underneath it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. We're not too far from there.
It's an odd place.
But our show takes place in El Centro, California. Yeah, so there's a lot of cool stuff to see. You know, a lot of people come out here for, they go out to like Salvation Mountain, like Slab City, because the Salton Sea is not that far from here. So that a lot of people head in that area, but they don't really come down in inland towards us. But they usually go out there. But I'm kind of more of a fan of I'm more of a fan of like the dunes area that we got on this side. You know, I love this side of it. You know, this desert part, I like it a lot more. Because out there in the Salton Sea, that's more towards when you're heading out to Palm Springs, and that's also a trippy place to check out too, because that's where they that's actually where they first tried to test the atom bomb, the nuclear bomb.
Oh,
they did the test drops there with the dummy bomb that was it didn't have the explosives in it, but it was like the whole actual bomb, the capsule. And it's where they were first testing the drops, like how good was their aim. They had these targets they were trying to hit. And so they would dump these giant bombs and drop them from the planes into the water. And that was their practice before they ended up going to, you know, drop the real one, unfortunately. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of crazy history there, you know?
No, I didn't know that either.
I did not know that.
Sounds like you got
a... Yeah, it's a trip. You go out there, you could see the thing still stands where they were trying to hit the... And the water there is crazy. Like, there's all kinds of dead fish bones. Like, you look at the sand and you have to get up close because you don't really know at first, but it looks like it's sand, like little white particles. But when you get closer, you realize they're all fish bones. They're all bones. And so it's just like this shore of bones. And
that's wild.
Honestly, to me, it smells like death because it's just like the fish, like the water is so salty that a lot of things can't live in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the oxygen is not
sense.
There and stuff.
Makes
and
sense.
So it's pretty crazy. Like they've shot a lot of things out there. I know like Linkin Park did a lot of their photo shoot for that Minutes to Midnight album there. They did a lot of stuff out there. They've shot some stuff there. But that's like further towards when you're hitting Palm Springs. I almost don't even consider that like the valley, honestly. But a lot of people come to see that in that direction. They don't really come in this way. And I'm more of a fan of like this area where the dunes are. Mm-hmm. When, like you said, towards Yuma, I like this side of our geographic area more, just because I like the desert setting versus that, you know? Yeah. Because that side's like more polluted, but I guess we have a lot of polluted stuff in the area. It's like apocalyptic in some sections, which is maybe why they film a lot of stuff down here, right?
That makes sense
very
to
possible.
Me.
Yeah.
Very possible. Well, I got any more questions?
No, I feel like I learned a lot just from talking
did learn
to you
a lot, yeah.
for like such a small short of time.
Yeah. Yeah. You got anything else you wanna?
I'm pretty much I just wanna thank everybody who picks up the book June 15th. Comic book stores everywhere around the world. East Coast, West Coast, any part, any country, everyone should be getting around the same time. The best Archie comic ever. No kidding. It truly is a blockbuster. I have a lot of other things in the works as well, too. I mean, to keep in the loop with that, I mean, it's just my name, @RubenNajera, RubenNajera. And that's on Twitter and Instagram.
Perfect.
And then my website is just my name, RubenNajera.com. And if you have a local LCS, support them. It's really important to do that.
Yes, it is. Very much so.
If you don't have a local comic shop and you don't have anyone to order from, we do mail orders. So, you know, Metahumans Comics, Metahumans, and then comics.com. You can reach out to us. We ship throughout the United States. We don't do international through, like, our eBay store we do. But... we do ship throughout the U.S. if you don't have an LCS. Of course, if you have a local one, support them first, first and foremost. I know how important that is. But if you don't have one, reach out to us. You know, we can take care of you. We also have, like, all the pull box and all that stuff. And, you know, we have a lot of cool collectibles. It's not just comics. We have a lot of cool action figures and stuff that we get in the store, too. But that's pretty much it, you know. Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate you all.
No problem.
Thank you so much for
your
time.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. And guys, definitely do all of the links that Archie said. Check them out, you know, see what he has, see if there's anything that you like. And then circle back and let us know if you find anything fun. We want to shop too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah.
That's about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And a Nerdament panel in the future at the convention.
Yes, of course.
Yes, we're doing
Nerdament
that.
Panel.
In the future.
Yes.
You should go on a Nerdament tour at different conventions, just like, you know.
We're going to speak it into existence.
Yes,
we're just going to keep
will.
Saying it.
We will.
And we're going to do it one day.
Do it. Make it happen. Live shows.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're first. Exactly. Just tour with them. They're gonna be touring like a band, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Touring everywhere. You got Nerdament merch. You already got some of the, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
just
yeah.
We
do
take it to the full echelon there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We do have a fledgling TeePublic site.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the shirt. Yeah.
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 It's a work in progress, but in the future.
Very cool.
Yeah. So. Again, thanks for coming on. Everybody go pick up that Best Archies Comics Ever, June 15th. Hit him up, RubenHara.com, MetaHuman Comics, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, for those Nermit fans out there, we will be back to our regularly scheduled programming next week when we have... actually, Boba Fett in that episode. So
yes, Boba Fett is in that episode.
So we
already know who I'm voting for. On that
yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You can't see that part of the thing, can you?
No,
I can't. But
okay.
But
no spoilers.
I gotta go with the local mascot.
Yeah, that's natural. That's yeah. natural.
Yeah. Definitely yeah. check out that episode.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we'll catch you guys in that video.
Yes, we will. See you guys. Have a good week.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.